Once again, live and with enthusiasm, it's Bob Crane's Hollywood.
Oh, boy, with that enthusiastic opening there from Roger Gallagher, I don't know where we go from here. A very happy good evening. This is Bob Crane, and actually, I do know where we're going from here. We have Bobby Troup in the live group with us again tonight. We have Lynn Franklin to sing, and our in-person guest, Jerry Wald, who we'll be getting to in just a moment. Before we do anything, though, I better introduce myself, in as much as I have only been out here on the West Coast for about 3.5 years. We did a show back east, and we were sent out here. We moved out, we being my family, my wife, and son, and my mother-in-law. It was the usual package deal when you come to California. And, you know, living back there is a completely different way of life. Unless you have lived in California, you don't know what it's like out here. For instance, Beverly Hills, you've all heard this is where the stars live. I live in Tarzana, which is right alongside of Beverly Hills. It's just as exclusive as Beverly Hills, but it's not Beverly Hills, you see. To give you an idea of how exclusive Tarzana is, and this is no joke, we actually have a fire department with an unlisted phone number. Or how exclusive can you get? There's other things I wanted to... Are you all set there, Herb Ellis on guitar? You're all set. I want to tell you the story of my life. Well, maybe I'd better not. You better do it, Herb. You do it yourself.
I don't know. I ain't going to make it.
You don't
know? Caught me by surprise. I'm
sorry. All right, hold it. Hold it a minute, Herb. I just have nothing. All right, I'll go on with it. I mentioned my family. I've had my son on the radio a couple of times with me, and he is like all small children with the da-da-goo-goo-mommy. You know, he dribbles out of the side of his mouth. He's 13, and then I've got a little daughter who is... this is my family. Anyway, this will give you an idea. I am a family man like everybody else. But I am interested in Hollywood itself for many reasons. I would like to do movies myself. I have gone to see producers about getting in the movies. I run into the usual same thing.
Your agent tells us that you're very good at dramatics.
Oh, I'm very, very good at dramatics.
Well, that's what we're looking for.
Well, that's why I'm here, sir.
But you're too young for the part.
Too young?
And too tall.
Well, I'm not really.
And too old. Actually, what we want is a girl.
As you can see, I run into this sort of problem everywhere, and then I've got an engineer who bothers me no end. He's got a girlfriend that's always interrupting the show. You know,
I've heard great shows, but this is not one of them.
Now, that'll give you an idea of what the sort of thing that I have to contend with. And then, of course, we have guests, as I said before, and we have Jerry Wald with us. Jerry, of course, is one of the top producers in the business. He produced Johnny Belinda just recently, The Best of Everything, which is up for an Academy Award, by the way. We'll talk more about the awards later on. Jerry, there's just one question I want to ask you. Of all the great successes you've had in the past, there must be one big mistake that you're sorry for. Could you tell us what that is?
Coming down here.
Now, come on. You know you really don't mean that. You're a personal friend of mine. You're the first guy, in fact, in town that I met when I came out here. And you have said to me in the past, now truthfully, that I was good for something in the movies, right?
Cartoons.
Oh, now, come on. What do you mean, cartoons? That's not a nice thing. You've been stringing me along. You've been telling me about these pictures, and I've been practicing my dramatic things, you know.
I wanted you to do a cartoon. I think you'd be very good for some of those Disney pictures. Sort of the voice of Mickey Mouse.
Look, he gave Fabian a job. Is he a good actor?
Yes. Not a good singer, but a good actor.
Really? You gave Pat Boone a job as an actor.
He's very good.
And a good actor?
Yes, but he's taller than you.
Oh, Jerry, that has nothing to do... Well, for instance... We have the Crane Little Theater player group here. And that little music lets you know that it's the Crane Little Player group.
I'm crying.
Don't cry and quit. I mean, you can't. It's your show.
No, that's your bit.
That's my bit. I cry and quit. Now, let's get to this thing here. We have an orchestra that's just... You've just got to listen to this.
Okay, I got my fiddle. Now, let's begin.
All right, Jay.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
I used to have a problem making coffee for my husband. No matter how I made it, he would say,
the coffee's pretty bad again today.
Oh, I perked it and I dripped it, but he'd say each time he'd sipped it,
the coffee's pretty bad again today.
They don't seem to put enough beans in coffee anymore. It's the beans that make the flavor.
Then one day I served my husband Nescafe. It sure made me feel great to hear him say,
I
like those 43 beans in every cup of Nescafe.
Those real coffee beans in every cup of Nescafe.
43 beans in every cup make Nescafe.
The all coffee, instant coffee.
with the Let's Have Another Cup taste.
Those 43 beans mean Nescafe is all coffee. Fresh, friendly, completely satisfying. I tell you, in today's Nescafe, the accent is on coffee.
Jerry, we're talking about young actors a moment ago, and there are so many young actors throughout this country in small towns and whatnot who would like to reach the movies or perhaps the stage. Must they come to Hollywood or go to New York for this sort of thing?
No, I think the major trouble is that most of them don't know their craft. I think they've got to, you can study becoming an actor like Jimmy Dean did in high school.
Yeah.
And went on to the theater and television. But I think that a lot of these young kids basically need, there's no shortcut to success. I mean, too many of them have been reading the fan magazines and looking for that drugstore that Lana Turner sat in on that stool where she was discovered.
Well, they couldn't. That's out here, you know.
Well, we send the stool around on tour.
I see. I see. What about the method? Should they go to that method thing back east there?
A method, there's no such thing as a method. If you're a good actor, you're able to project a given scene or a given line, and you're supposed to convey an emotion. Now, there are six basic emotions.
What are they, Jerry?
Well, you don't have any of them, but I'll tell you about them.
Yes.
Pleasure and pain, fear and hope, and love and hatred. Now, those are the basic emotions. If you learn that and project, you're able to project that, like you cannot do at times. For instance, that one bean we lost.
You counted the beans, and there are 42 beans.
42 beans.
Marilyn Monroe, who is appearing in a picture that you're producing right now.
She has her own method.
She has this coach on the sidelines all the time.
No, she's not a coach at all. She's a good friend, and she's there. Mr. Cuco is a pretty good director, and he doesn't need any sideline coaching.
We were discussing this the other day. Elizabeth Taylor asked $1 million to do a picture, and she ended up thankful for $750,000 because it would help in the tax structure. Does Marilyn command this sort of a salary?
She's a different type of structure.
Does she command $1 million a picture?
No. The way I employ her is under her present Fox contract, but I assume on the outside she probably could get that.
Do you think a star is worth $1 million?
I think a star is worth anything they can bring in at the box office. Now, I don't know. I think probably the only two stars who I think can really pull them in is Brando and Marilyn Monroe.
These are the only two stars. What about Clark Gable? Somebody discussed the other day he doesn't have an audience anymore.
I don't know. I haven't followed Clark's recent pictures. I assume that he has a following. He must have. He's built it up over a period of years. You know, a lot of stars that we think of stars are really Hollywood personalities. They're big at Schwab's drugstore.
Yeah.
And Rule Wright's ice cream parlor. But outside of that, nobody knows them. It takes about 5 years to really get a mass audience for any personality. For instance, you would be a little tougher. We'd take about 10 with you.
But about comedy in movies, do you think they're doing enough comedies? There are quite a few comedies that came out last year that really were great at the box office.
I think we need more comedies. The trouble is that we're taking ourselves too seriously these days. I mean, I think the more comedies we have, the better. You know, many years ago, there was two brothers named the Stern Brothers who made comedies, and they had a slogan for these comedies called "Our Comedies Not to Be Laughed At." Now, I think today we ought to get comedies that they laugh at. I think we should go for more slapstick, more physical, visual comedy.
Well, you don't deal with comedies.
A comedy right now with Marilyn Monroe and Eddie Montan.
Peyton Place wasn't a comedy.
Oh, that was not a comedy. That was a tragedy.
Yeah, was it at the box office?
No, none of the...
Speaking of tragedies, I understand that the Fabian picture didn't do too well at the box office.
It didn't do too well in the first runs, but in the second and third runs, it picked up considerably because we had all the people who love dogs picked up, followed.
You mean, isn't that terrible? No, about...
Hound Dog Man did very well. Bob,
what about double features? You're talking about a second run the second time around. Why must they have double features?
Well, I've been asking the same question because every time I want to see a film at the theater, the wrong picture's playing. And after a while, you get out at 3 o'clock in the morning, it's pretty tiring.
I understand that eventually they're going to show Ben-Hur as part of a double bill with the Ten Commandments.
Yes, and they're putting him on three screens at one time, playing in three different theaters.
You start at 9 o'clock, and it's a full-time job that you're going to have.
You get witnessing. A basket lunch and dinner.
Yeah, I understand. Jerry, speaking of, and I do want to put this in here right now, too, just to mention the fact that Ben-Hur was one of the pictures just recently selected as one of the best of the year. It's up for an Academy Award, of course. And you yourself have your picture, The Best of Everything, which is up for one of the best songs of the year. And, of course, in that same field, they've chosen the best actor of the year. I think a couple of important things have been overlooked. Best performance by an actor. Lawrence Harvey in Room at the Top was just great. Charlton Heston in Ben-Hur. Jack Lemmon in Some Like It Hot. Paul Muni in Last Angry Man. And James Stewart in Anatomy of a Murder. And two consolation prizes that are being thrown in there. One to Charlie Van Doren in Washington and Jack Parr in New York for the best actors of the year. I think that those were undoubtedly, you know, but I don't know whether it's movie-wise. But talking about songs, as I was just just a moment ago. I just happened to think we haven't had a song yet.
Say.
What?
Why don't we all sing?
Well, Jack, I was just about to... Who was that anyway that just said that?
Of course, it's Dick Powell.
Well, Dick, I'm sorry we can't use you on that. Wasn't Dick. That was Jack Chapman, our engineer. Jack, we do want to have a song now. Could you turn on the mic of Bobby Troops, please?
I must say, when Bob Crane puts his mind to something, we are certainly winding up with thrills, aren't we?
No, we sure are, Jack. What is the number that Bobby's going to do there? He's way over in the corner, and I can't talk to him where I am.
We'll sing our school song.
The school song, Bobby?
A little number dedicated to Harvard University entitled Who Hit Ernest Hooton with a Fig Newton.
No, now, come on, that's not the title. Bobby Troop to sing Manhattan.
Summer journeys to Niagara and to other places aggravate all our cares. We'll save our fares. I've a cozy little flat in what is known as Old Manhattan. We'll settle down right here in town. We'll have Manhattan, the Bronx, and Staten Island, too. It's lovely going through the zoo. It's very fancy on old Delancey Street, you know. The subway charms us so, where balmy breezes blow to and fro. And tell me what street compares with Mott Street in July. Sweet push carts gently gliding by. The great big city's a wondrous toy, just made for a girl and boy. We'll turn Manhattan into an Isle of Joy. We'll go to Greenwich, where modern men itch to be free. And Bowling Green you'll see with me. We'll go to Coney and eat bologna on a roll. Through Central Park we'll stroll, where our first kiss we stole, soul to soul. I'd like to take a sail on Jamaica Bay with you, and fair Canarsie's lakes we will view. The city's clamor can we never spoil, the dreams of a boy and girl. We'll turn Manhattan into an Isle of Joy. We'll turn Manhattan, the Bronx and Staten, into an Isle of Joy for a girl and boy in Manhattan.
Oh, yeah. Bobby Troop in the group, and Bobby singing. You didn't compose that, did you, Bob?
No, Lorenz Hart, Richard Rogers.
That's a great tune.
Back there. In 1927.
You know. Was it that far back? I didn't realize that. It was back when Jack Chapman, our fine engineer, was born. Weren't you, Jack?
I'm with you, baby!
All right, Jack.
Billy!
All right. Yeah, all right.
I'm an achiever!
You know what bothers me? I understand every word he said. It, you know, it's so confusing. Jerry Wald is our guest. Jerry, would you like to do a commercial here?
No, but I'd like to hear you read one.
Do you like cars? Naturally, you like cars, but do you like large or small? Out here in Hollywood, of course, we have all these sports cars. Do you have a sports car yourself?
No, I walk.
Oh, dear. Well, there's opinions differ, as you can easily see. But
I'll ride with you.
One thing is for sure. Most folks like their cars economical, and that's why your nearby Ford dealer is offering economy twins. Now, whether you like the large car or the small car, two 1960 Fords that meet every driving need economically. You take the new size Ford Falcon. Now that you've had a chance to look over all of the compacts, you know the Falcon's lowest in price of any six-passenger car built in America to date. Get how much more you get for the money? Two armrests, two sun visors, luxurious upholstering, 23 cubic feet of trunk space. You save on gas, oil, parts, and insurance, too. You pair the Falcon with the big-size Ford Fairlane 500, you have economy twins that make sense. Whether you're in the market for one car or two, twin test the economy twins today at your nearby
Ford dealers. I drive a Ford. How about you? Jerry Wald is our in-person guest on our show tonight. Bobby Troop and the group are here, and we'll get back to them in just a couple of minutes, and Lynn Franklin, too. We were talking a moment ago about these pictures that you've produced, such as Peyton Place. This brings up the subject of censorship, which everybody's talking about now. So many people say, gee, I'm afraid to send my children to the movies. Some of these movies are so adult nowadays. They should have a tag on them, adults only, or, you know, something like, what do you think about
it? Well, Bob, actually, I think a good producer can make a film that will not offend the innocent, but at the same time will not frustrate the intelligent picture goer. I think you can ride on both horses very safely. And you have to make a picture, any film you make has to be done with good taste. And I think that there's a point of no return where they can be violating not only good taste, but also chasing people away from the theater.
Speaking about chasing away, you think theater prices are too high?
I don't know. Everything these days seems high, and everything goes up accordingly.
What about television? I understand you're leaving the movie business.
No, I'm not leaving the movie business. I like making films, but I think television is the greatest sight and see kingdom that has ever been invented. I think it's giving a lot of talent the chance to be seen and be heard. And
what about you?
Me? I like to go into television. I've tried it a couple of times with the Academy shows. You know.
Oh, yes. I remember the Academy Award last year. Speaking of great things.
Didn't we do pretty good?
You did beautifully.
We got knocked out in the 14th round.
I love the sports show that followed it. That was one of the water skiing and the fishing. Did you plan that?
That was the goal. We had an Oscar for the best fish of the year.
Oh, boy. Did they ask you to direct it again this year?
Yes, they did. But
They did, really?
Yes, because I have a new watch.
Going back to last year, of course, Jerry Wald directed the Oscar show. That was the one where Jerry Lewis ended up directing 8,000 people at the Pantages Theater, and they were 20 minutes short in the program. Would you like to hear a very good talent, Jerry, that you might end up in the movies?
Anytime.
This is Miss Lynn Franklin, who is sitting over here in the corner with Bobby Troop in the group. Lynn has got one of our all-time favorite type tunes. That is not Lynn Franklin on the bass, by the way. Here she is to sing.
It's wonderful, it's marvelous, you should care. What I long to see, you made my life so glamorous. You can't blame me for feeling amorous. It's wonderful, marvelous that you should care.
Lynn Franklin doing the singing there with Bobby Troop and the group, and a bit of It's Wonderful. Jerry Wald, one big thing that always impresses me is the amount of publicity you get. Do you think this accounts for the success of most of your pictures?
I try to sell them, Bob, just like anybody. You're trying to sell those coffee beans.
Yeah.
I have to go out and sell a film. A film is it's very important that any picture be pre-sold. And today, with the mass communications, we have to spend more time than ever getting out and sort of drum beating. You take a picture like Ben-Hur, it took about 2 years to get it over to the public.
You seem to do more publicity on your pictures than anybody I know of. And maybe it's because I'm so close here in town, you know, and we know more about it. But there's a picture that opened recently here in town, and I had never heard about it until it opened, and it had some pretty great stars in it. And then right away I said to somebody, boy, that's one thing about a Jerry Wald picture. For instance, when you were casting your current picture, I read that you had Gregory Peck to do the lead.
For a hot 5 minutes, yes.
Really?
Yes,
you're a personal friend of Gregory's, aren't you?
We're very good friends.
Then why didn't he end up in the picture? Did he get mad at you?
No, he wanted to be be the play the part of the producer and also be the actor. And I said, we couldn't have a tail wagging a dog, I don't think. So we had to have one producer and one actor.
Isn't this a problem in Hollywood, not only on the movie end, but the TV end, too? A lot of these stars, I know some of the Western stars are trying to produce and direct themselves.
No, I think in this case, Greg, after Marilyn got into the picture, felt that certain changes that had to be made for this, on the script he didn't want, and I insisted they be made.
Well, who made the changes? Arthur Miller?
Arthur Miller did them, yes, and he wrote for the better. It didn't enlarge the part at all. It's the same size script as it was when Greg originally agreed to do it, but when he waltzed out, why, we went scouting around, finally...
You went to Rock Hudson, then?
We went to Charlton Heston, Rock Hudson. We went right down the list, and finally we ended up with an actor who I think is the best of all, is Yves Montand, who will be a tremendous sensation.
But he doesn't speak English.
He speaks English better than we do, fortunately.
Really? Is he taking lessons?
He is, he came here, this is very interesting, he started here about 3 months ago without, really spoke about 30 words.
Yeah,
and then he started working with Gertrude Vogler, a dramatic coach, and today his English is just perfect.
I had heard that he was studying with Brando.
He doesn't wear a sweatshirt in his picture either.
You were mentioning about two stars who are really big box office. Who did you say again?
I said Marlon Brando and Marilyn Monroe.
Are any of these record stars big box office?
Well, who do you consider a big record star?
Pat Boone.
Pat Boone is very good. He has a film out now. It's a tremendous hit called Journey to the Center of the Earth.
You produced it?
No, I did not. Charlie Brackett. He's very good. I wish I had.
Are you going to use Bobby Darin in a picture?
No, he's under contract to Paramount. I wish I could get him.
What about Presley? You did a picture with Presley.
No, I did not, but he's banking pictures at Fox. He's very good. I think Presley's got a great natural talent. Anyway, he's been defending us, too, don't forget.
Who has been defending us?
Presley. You know, we've had him in Germany.
Yeah, but did you hear the latest?
No.
He's been over there so long, now he can't speak English. He's going to come back and he's going to sing in German.
Open a German beer garden.
Probably. I don't know exactly. There's music playing in the background there, which means it's time to get... the crane little... I don't know what Presley... Maybe he doesn't speak English for all I know. Maybe he'll take lessons from Yves Montand after he... who knows anything about him? Jay Cook is our fine engineer and also a great storyteller. I want you to listen to this story. Pay attention to this now, Jay. There's a beautiful story he's got to tell. Go ahead, Jay.
The couple were huddled together very closely.
Yes.
The lights were very low.
True.
He pressed his lips into her shell-like ear and whispered,
"Hi there. This is Dale Robertson. I played Jim Hardy on The Tales of Wells Fargo for Pall Mall Famous Cigarettes."
Right.
"That's my cigarette."
Yeah, well, sure.
"With Pall Mall, you get satisfying flavors so friendly to your taste."
Right.
"And I mean satisfying."
Yes.
"No flat filtered out flavor and friendly."
Yes.
"No dry smoked out taste."
All right.
"Now here's Ernest Chappell to tell us why."
All right.
"Gonna get this stuff, man. Get it."
All right, Ernest. Oh, wait, don't inhale. No, look, you're overdoing it.
"Get it all."
Ernest, you don't have to get so emotional. Just go ahead. Tell us the story.
Pall Mall's famous length of fine tobacco travels and gentles the smoke, makes it mild, but does not filter out that satisfying flavor. That's because Pall Mall travels and gentles the smoke naturally, travels it over, under, around, and through Pall Mall's traditionally fine, mellow tobaccos. The finest quality money can buy.
And remember, with Pall Mall, you can light either end and get satisfying flavor, so friendly to your taste. Pall Mall's never too strong, never too weak. It's always just right.
You tell them, Cuddles.
Buy Pall Mall Famous Cigarettes. Outstanding.
And they are mild.
Oh, dear. I'm sorry. The time has rushed by faster than I thought. Jerry Wald, we do want to thank you for taking time out from your very busy schedule as one of the top producers here in Hollywood. I do hope you come back again real soon.
I'm delighted to come. Bobby, one thing I liked about this program was that once we rehearsed it, we were really disorganized.
True, and you'll be interested to know that we have as our guest tomorrow night a gentleman who's appearing in one of your pictures right now, Tony Randall, and also Shirley MacLaine. We want to thank Lynn Franklin for being with us tonight and Bobby Troop and the group. This is yours truly, Bob Crane. Thank you very much for listening. Till tomorrow night at the same time. Good night, huh?